I'm going to talk to a lady called Sally. We've changed her name, but the story basically is, Sally, that you are the first person who has been able to have a case, gone through court, settle out of court with the Met over their mishandling of the rape case. This was the rape, I believe, Sally, of your daughter.
Yes, that's correct.
Could you basically tell me what happened and how you came to the situation you found yourself in, first of all?
Okay. My daughter was raped. She came and told me. I convinced her to go to the police. We went to the police and we presented them with evidence, which was phone evidence. My daughter had been into a store directly after she'd raped. Staff had asked her if she was okay, so there were potential witnesses there that could have corroborated my daughter's story. And my daughter, it was in Southwark.
How old was your daughter at the time, Sally?
She was 15 at the time.
And it was the Sapphire unit in Southwark that were involved in this?
That dealt with her case, yes.
Right, okay.
After a court case, it became clear that mistakes had been made. And we decided that we weren't going to, you know, we were quite appalled by this, and we decided to take it further and have it investigated as to what had gone wrong.
All right. What sort of mistakes do you think were made by the police officers involved?
Well, it was proven. It wasn't, I don't think they made mistakes. It was clear that they
all
made
right.
mistakes. They took 3 months to arrest him, despite having his name, address, mobile phone number, car registration number. He was identified from day one. They lost vital phone evidence. The officer on my daughter's case, the biggest crime he'd ever investigated was graffiti. He'd come straight from a safer neighbourhood unit into the Suffolk Sapphire unit and had no training at all.
No training at all.
No training at all.
And this is in 2005. We're not talking about back in the 90s or the 80s.
No, this was 2005, 2006, when the Sapphire unit supposed to be the gold star, where everything had changed and that the rape was being taken seriously.
Okay, so they lost evidence. They put an officer on who was inexperienced, had no training in this. Was there a time when you thought this is just not good enough and you wanted to talk to somebody else about it?
Well, I didn't realise that was going on at the time because we were being reassured that, you know, the case was going forward and so forth and so forth. So obviously we weren't clear about what had happened until it got to court, and the case had already been lost because the evidence had been lost, and the judge said it was an absolute disgrace that the evidence was there on a plate, you know, and it had been missed. You wouldn't have even needed training to have gathered the evidence. You know, the witnesses in the shop hadn't been interviewed, no CCTV had been gathered. It was horrendous.
How angry have you been during this? I mean, had you lost all your confidence in the police?
Well, clearly, yes, you do. You don't expect to have to become a detective in, you know, your own daughter's rape investigation. You expect the police to have the sufficient training. You know, if you're a detective, you have detective means that you investigate. You know, and yeah, I suppose it goes from grief to anger. You go through different stages, and then to wanting, you know, you want justice.
And how has it affected your daughter? Because, I mean, unless victims are handled in the right way, as we heard from Stephanie earlier, unless victims are handled in the right way, it can make it much more traumatic for the person who has been offended against.
Well, I tell you, it's traumatising enough going in and reporting your rape, and it's traumatising enough going through a court case. But what was even more traumatising for my daughter was the fact that the police, after it had all happened, treated us like we were lepers, and they shut every door on us and expected us to go away. But it was only because of the support we had from Women Against Rape and our MP and everyone else we got involved and the media that they actually then started to take us seriously. And then that's when we opened up a can of worms and we found out what we eventually found out about the Southwark Sapphire unit, that they were starving it of resources and putting it into car crime.
Did you talk to the commissioner about this? Have you had a chance to speak to the commissioner?
I've never spoken to the commissioner. We spoke to the borough commander, and we've recently been to interviews with Mr. Duffy, Mick Duffy, who is the head of the Sapphire, who tells us everything has changed now. But, you know...
Do you feel you would like to talk to the Commissioner, Bernard Hogan Howe?
I would like to talk to the Commissioner, but you kind of get fed up of hearing lessons have been learned, because clearly lessons don't get learned. You know, this recent now today that's come out, this IPCC report, reveals that even after they've been hauled across the coals by my daughter's case, they were still continuing to deceive.
How do you feel that they're putting more money into car crime than into rape?
Well, what is that telling you? That you're worthless, isn't it? That's what it's telling the victim, that you're actually not worth it. You know, car crime, it's all about statistics and hitting targets. And, yeah, that is, they are missing the point, because, you know, it's about victims getting their justice.
Do you think that the officers involved, who weren't trained properly, have now received training, or have they received any kind of, a reprimand, disciplinary sort of procedure or not?
Well, four of the officers were disciplined, and actually, what the sad thing of it was the officer who was put on the case was used as a scapegoat in my eyes. Who should have been reprimanded and who should have been punished sufficiently was the man right at the top who managed to escape that and retire on a full pension and then go on to, I think it was the police in the School of Excellence. And he was making informed decisions about the Sapphire unit and taking resources out of the Sapphire unit and placing it onto car crime, but he was allowed to get away with that. And I don't feel that I don't feel that the authorities above them come down hard enough on those people, because, you know, I feel that people who make decisions, like in the Suffolk Sapphire now, that they're making women withdraw and retract, or encouraging women to do that, and that was senior officers that were going along with that. Why are they not being arrested and being charged with perverting the course of justice? Because that's exactly what's happening.
Do you think they should be?
Yeah, I do. I think that by making examples of people at the top, that will stop all this. You can retrain all you want. Retraining, retraining and retraining. If it's not being implemented, it's not going to work. We've proved that. I'm quite fed up of hearing lessons have been learned, because that's all we keep hearing,
I agree. I hate that term as well. I would like to hear Bernard Hogan Howe's response to this. I wonder if we can get him to respond, obviously not today, but probably during the week sometime, if we can get him to respond, Sally, to what you have said. Because
I'd speak to Hogan Howe publicly on radio, and put my case to him, because I'm now a volunteer with Women Against Rape, so he can't tell me that things are getting better, because I still see cases similar to my daughter's coming in where police are failing victims, that's the bottom line.
How much of a strain on you, Sally, has this been?
This has been a huge strain, but I tell you what, it's ignited a fire in me, because I feel passionate about how these people are treated.
How about your daughter? How is she now?
My daughter's okay. She's getting by. You know, she's doing okay. That's all I can say.
Mm. But she's still got a way to go.
She's got a way to go. And I think, you know, many other girls and women and men have experienced the same thing. And the main thing is that we change things so that this, you know, this doesn't continue to happen.
And so this is what I think we need to get through to people. And Stephanie was saying earlier, it is the way that a victim is treated by the police after this has happened. Particularly, I mean, in Stephanie's case, she'd been held captive for 8 days in a coffin. I won't go back through that again. But when she got home, the police didn't really seem to know how to react in the best way to make it as least traumatic as possible for the victim.
Yeah.
If we could get Hogan Howe on, we'll get you on to have a word with him. We'll see if we can arrange it.
I'll welcome that.